It's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda Ardern, Deputy Leader of the Labour Party, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning to
it's
you.
It's bloody freezing. It's What's Up.
It is. It's cold, but it's crisp, and it's a beautiful 4K high-definition day.
It is. I love the optimistic spin on the freeze. It's a great morning.
But you must need to summon up a little optimism yourself, because you work in politics.
I work in opposition politics, which is next-level optimism.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
That may be a different case in 5 months' time.
Yeah, that's certainly the plan. And, you know, it feels like, I don't know if it comes as a result of announcing election dates quite early, which is what we've had the last couple of cycles, but I think it's going to feel like a very long build-up probably for voters to the election. It feels like we're already kind of moving into campaign mode.
Yeah, well, I mean, you must be soon. What's the sort of how far out from the actual election date do you guys have to really
gear
drop
up
the clutch and get into it?
Because we particularly have a bit of a movement that's based on people power rather than wads of cash. We start quite early. We start doing, you know, things like door knocking and phone canvassing, where we basically ring up and try and have conversations with people about politics.
Are people open to that? Is that still the way to do it?
Yeah. That's definitely what we still do. So the most effective thing you can do when you're campaigning is knock on someone's door. As much as the person on the other side of the door might find it painful, it is still the best thing we can do. So we still spend a lot of time doing that.
How do you think? Do you think that New Zealand's mobilised? New Zealand voters are mobilised and ready to vote and have an idea of what they want to do?
I think probably right now most people are probably not really thinking about it in a huge amount of detail. I mean, when you look at the enrolment stats, particularly for under 24s, only 65% are currently enrolled. So that's a pretty good sign that at least young people at this stage are not ready and that interested. Yes.
So is it your role as the opposition party or as a major political party to get people excited about it and get people to enroll and get people to vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the people that have the dedicated role to do that are the Electoral Commission. But I think every political party should be worried about when people aren't enrolled or aren't turning out, because that undermines democracy. I mean, we particularly worry about it because it's quite often, you know, it's quite often people who are getting done over by the system who tend not to engage with it, and so it's really in their interest to vote. So that's hard work, because it's not just then having a conversation about who people are voting for. It's just the logistics of getting them on the roll in the first place. And it's particularly the case for first-time voters. If they don't vote the first time, they tend not to vote the second or the third time. So, yeah, if you see a box on campus, direct everyone to it, because, yeah, that's a place we try and really make sure people are ready to roll.
And what about the back end? What about, like, the seasoned voter who may be disillusioned?
The disillusioned voter is a hard one. There's this survey called the Acumen Barometer, which they do globally, which kind of gives you an idea of whether or not people are starting to have a bit of lack of trust or faith in both business, politics, NGOs and the media. By and large, you know, New Zealanders don't tend to be as cynical as the rest of some of our counterparts in other developed nations, but I saw the last survey results. Increasingly, there is a loss of faith in the systems here.
Keep an eye on it, eh?
Yeah, totally, because I think, you know, that's what I do think gave rise to some of those populist movements we've seen overseas, and I don't think we're immune to that here. I do think that we really have to make sure that politics is responding to the stuff that people care about and that they're worried about. That's what I think gives rise to people, you know, standing back and saying, I'm just not going to bother, and that's when we should worry.
Now, it's been a very grown-up week in politics. When we're talking the housing issue, we've had Bill English saying that Labor's plan to build 100,000 houses in 10 years would make New Zealand look like the back end of Moscow. I don't know what sort of weird comment that is to make. And then your man, Twyford, Big Phil, he said the whole thing's a schmozzle. What?
Well,
what?
Yeah, well, actually,
what? What?
I think the...
Pardon?
I see this little sarcasm there with the whole growing up week in politics.
Yes, that's because Phil Twyford said schmozzle, and because Bill English, the Prime Minister, said the back end of Moscow. Like, what? What, pardon? Think, what, pardon?
Yeah,
pardon? What?
So that was Bill English, basically, when we came out with our plans around building 10,000 houses a year. So we thought that was the least that was required in this, you know, in the current state that we've got in Auckland. That was across the country. But when we announced that, Bill English was really sceptical. We said it wasn't possible, made kind of statements like the back end of Moscow. And then the government announced that they had their own building plan this week. Yeah. You know, I think building any houses is, and at least the government standing up and saying, yeah, actually now we have to get into the position of moving things along, such as the massive gap that we have in housing provision. So at least I've conceded that point. I do think, though, probably they need to go back to the drawing board on the affordable question, because what they're planning is only a very small portion that will be, you know, worth $650,000, and for most people that's just not the definition of affordable for them.
It's not going to be a smooth and easy ride, that, is it, no matter who takes over?
No, it's you know, when it comes to everything that's given rise to the housing crisis we have, no, it's not straightforward at all. Otherwise, someone would have just done the one thing that was required. But I think our frustration has been there's been a couple of easy things that they could have done and haven't, you know.
If they just listened to Labor.
Oh, we were really offering up our ideas, you know, on a plate. And, you know, that is one of the frustrations, you know, when you feel like you go and do the work and you're like, you know, here's a set of five things you could do. Not all of them are easy, but here's five things, and then you just have to wait three, six, 9 years to be able to do them.
How is the party...
Don't make it 12, guys. Don't make it 12.
How is Labor feeling about the sudden re-zhooshing up of the TPP?
Yeah, I mean...
There's Bill English heading over to Japan just for a quick trip, and it's rugby and TPP.
Rugby and TPP. That's right. You know, the two great concerns of our nation. Well, TPP, obviously we had some pretty significant concerns with it. Yeah, actually, our point was that of all the free trade deals that we've done in the past, they were pretty seasoned, and then we completed the China FTA. Our view was that this one was next level. It was more than a free trade agreement, and that the government didn't really do enough to carve out, you know, some exemptions for us that were in our best interest. And one of the big ones for us was that they didn't even bother trying to put in provisions that would allow us to, for instance, put a ban on people based overseas from buying residential housing in New Zealand, which is what a lot of other countries have done that same thing. They put that carve out in their TPP agreement, but New Zealand didn't. So those were the kinds of things that we really took issue with.
We need to be clear, though, and remind people that Labor were not against the TPP.
Well, we were just against some of the elements that were. We did vote against it because we thought that, you know, things like that, protecting our ability to try and manage the housing crisis by putting a ban on foreign overseas-based buyers, people who don't live in New Zealand buying residential houses. There were a set of other criteria we had. If the government didn't come through on, we said we couldn't support it. So we voted against it for that reason.
All right. Jacinda, what do we need to look out for this week in the wonderful world of politics, local, domestic politics?
The budget. So it's budget week. This is on Thursday. The government will announce how they expect to spend the surplus that they've been touting for some time now, so that will come out on Thursday.
Would it be fair to say how they expect to buy some votes?
I think if you're being both a cynic and observer,
4 months out from an election, surely.
Yep. You usually do have a bit of a lolly scramble before an election. That is very fair to say. Yep. So this will be, you know, the government's agenda going into the election will be revealed on Thursday, basically.
Let's dissect and discuss this time next week.
I look forward to it.
Thank you, Jacinda Ardern. Have a wonderful week.
Thanks, Mikey. Catch you. You too.
Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.